Howdy, folks, and welcome once again to the Riley Factor, episode 4. Got a pretty good guest, actually a fellow Delta Sig of mine from the Delta Sigma Phi fraternity. We're sitting down with DDS, Delicious Danny Scott, as he likes to call himself. Actually, pretty interesting interview. I've actually wanted to talk with him for a while. Wanted to do it in person, but because of the benefits of Skype, we can talk face to face and just have to deal with a little pixelation with the internet connections. But nonetheless, we'll be talking with him a little bit about his wrestling career and most importantly, his recent show that he just did, Kaiju Attack Wrestling in Illinois, had the first show competing against a big fight, Money Mayweather versus Conor McGregor, and they did a great job. They didn't have a crappy draw like some places might have. They packed the place. They could definitely do better, as he alludes to, but at the same time, they set the bar pretty high in the first show, and that's always a fantastic thing. Before we get into that, I just have to get something off my chest, and we're gonna do a little shooting here, I guess, in theory, just because it's for a place that I really don't care if they hear the word about. I'm not gonna mention the promotion's name because I don't want to give them any more credibility than they deserve, so to speak. Sorry, getting some of that courage of the Leinig Kugel's Oktoberfest fashion, but nonetheless, so. Went to a show on Saturday in Rubicon, Wisconsin. I'm not going to mention the promotion's name, like I said, but you can put enough pieces together to know who I'm talking about. So basically, the reason I went there, it wasn't like I was booked on the card. I really had nothing going on, and for me, I was going strictly for the interviews for this podcast. And essentially, the promoter had reached out to the Grapple Talk Network page, facebook.com/thegrappletalk, by the way. And had reached out, talked about the show, talked about all the names they're bringing in. So they brought in Jake the Snake Roberts, Awesome Kong, two of the ladies from GLOW, Zach Gowen. I mean, it was a jam-packed show. Jake was doing a stand-up comedy night the day before. Apparently, it was a hit, and that would have been fantastic to see. But and had car issues, had to get the oil changed before I got back on the road again. But it's probably for the best because of everything that led up to it. But nonetheless, kind of before I get ahead of myself here, so, had talked with the promoter. We had arranged an arrangement of sorts. We had gotten everything settled up where essentially the benefit of plugging their show, talking about ticket sales, basically just giving them some love, they would exchange that love for allowing us to do interviews with, with the big time names, like interview with Jake Roberts, which would have been great. Interview with Awesome Kong, which would have been amazing. An interview with Zach Gowen, because we haven't talked with him for a couple of years. There's plenty of conversations you could have had. And of course, with the ladies of GLOW, we had Roxy and Sunny. You could have talked about the Netflix special that has just come out on Netflix not too long ago. Plenty of conversations. It would have been great content for the podcast. I was thrilled about it. I was pleased as punch, as they might say. But what happens when you get to the venue? Nothing happened. That's the problem. And this is why it's the problem, is because I double checked. I quadruple checked. I checked four times. I can't really double check four times. But I quadruple checked, made sure everything was good to go. Because, the names, they got their own stuff. They're going to be busy at the show. Just want to make sure everything was on the level. They were all set to go. And it wasn't just the assumption that, oh, okay, if you're going to plug our stuff, then yeah, you'll get the interviews, no problem. I was told four times that everything was good to go. So I thought I had nothing to worry about. So I get to the venue. Hey, yeah, I'm not there right now, but Awesome Kong should be there, and yeah, she knows about the interviews. So yeah, just go say hi, introduce yourself, and she'll be fine. Fantastic. My job's gonna be easy. Get there, get to meet Awesome Kong. Very nice lady. Very, class act. Asked her if she knew anything about the interviews, and she had the deer in the headlights look. That look of no, I didn't know anything about that. So here I am, first person I talk to, nothing. Not a good start. Of course, asked if we could do the interview still. She's still interested. And it was just a matter of, where she was on the card, what she had to do, what she had to be aware of, and that's totally fine. She's there for a reason, and I respect that. Get to Zach Gowen. Here's a guy we've talked to before. This will be easy. Oh, maybe he's one of those people that's knows about the interviews. Maybe it was just a little bit of confusion. But Zach Gowen, another person. No, I didn't know anything about that. And again, to his benefit, he said that he would try, but he got busy, busy talking to some fans. He was signing autographs. He was doing what he was brought to do. So, bottom line is, talk to the names. They didn't know about the interview. They didn't have the time to do the interview. And again, I'm not mad at them one at all. I'm not mad whatsoever. I'm disappointed that despite the arrangement that we had, that we plugged their show, they allow us to talk with the names. Everything is set up, presumably, and it didn't work. So that's frustrating. And here's the reason it's frustrating. It's not even the reason that I couldn't interview them because I'm just a small-time podcaster. Who gives a shit about me? But at the same time, the way they were talking about how the pod the how the interviews were allowed is that it was press. So what happens if, a local newspaper wants to interview Jake the Snake Roberts and is told everything's good to go? What happens if the TV crew wants to plug the show, they want to do a story on it for the weekends because they're hurting for content and they don't get any interviews because they don't have time. They didn't know about these interviews. They weren't prepared for them. What happens if they would have shown up? They didn't, but what happens if they went came in expecting that, okay, we gave the show a lot of love on our publications, it was in the paper every day. We really want to do this interview with Jake Snake Roberts, and you can't. And that what pissed me off the most is just the lack of follow through. And of course, the shows are marketed as the last show, and of course it was just the last show in that name, and of course they changed the name and everything. And the draw sucked, for the record. But I don't know if it had anything to do with the Mayweather-McGregor fight. Probably had something to do with it, but ultimately I think it's just poor advertising, And maybe that's why they asked other people to promote their stuff for them in the hopes that they would get more draw. But to the credit, it was great to see some of the people. I haven't seen Chaz Moretti and his wife Amy in years, and it was fantastic to see them again. So that was fantastic. Got to hang out with Swoggle and Colucci. And Nathan Guss, the semi-main event ref, as he was calling himself, got to hang out with a lot of cool people, but it was just really disappointing that, a fantastic venue that they had, a great setup if you walk in the door, and they didn't draw for shit. What made it even worse is that the 18 by 18 ring, the beautiful ring they had, they were letting it sit out in the rain and the elements for a full goddamn year. So, of course, the canvas was moldy and it was horrible. It was god awful. There was an opportunity to do the Rumble if anybody wanted to put their gear on, do it. I didn't even want to bother just because, Mr. Big Time, of course, but ultimately I didn't want to get cancer from the mold because I've already busted my head open a couple times on that ring, so I don't need to get anything worse. But yeah, before I put the guns away, I just want to say that in addition to that, a show before was called Wrestling for a Cause, and of course there was a little bit of belief that I was trying to stir the pot because I was asking what the cause was. I think that's a valid question. If you're advertising that a show is for a cause, you should list what that cause was. And of course the cause wasn't anything to be ashamed of. They're raising money for kids to have Christmas presents on Christmas. They're in the hospital. They gotta have a little bit of Christmas time, while they're battling their terminal diseases. That's a fantastic cause. And they didn't draw well either because they didn't list that. They just said Wrestling for a Cause. And I'm sick of people defending that they didn't do it. All three of them defending. I'm sick of it. But anyways, gonna put the guns away, gonna put the shovel away. But it was a shitty weekend, I guess, so to speak. It was a 6-hour trip for absolutely nothing. But I maybe not for nothing. I did get to have Jake the Snake Roberts snake on my shoulders, and that was the second largest snake I've held in the whole locker room, right? Haha, dick humor. But either way, moving along from the past, looking to the future, again, fantastic interview with DDS, Delicious Danny Scott, as he's calling himself, the promoter of Kaiju Attack Wrestling in Illinois. Love the interview. And, of course, just a love for a fellow Delta Sig just making it out there in pro wrestling. I can't say enough good things about it. So why don't we take a quick break, come back with the interview, and we'll talk about that. So you're listening to The Riley Factor on the Grapple Talk Network. We'll be right back.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
This is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media. Create your legacy.
Hey, this is Dave Dynasty from the Dave Dynasty Show. Hey, check out our weekly podcast where you get my take on wrestling headlines. I answer listener questions and I interview your favorite independent wrestling stars. You can find us at www.davedynasty.com or look up the Dave Dynasty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks for your support.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And uh-oh. Looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, it looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, indiepowerrankingsipr.wordpress.com.
One of the big things, obviously, that I want to talk about is the fact that most wrestling terminology, you get the whole, like, hey, what's going on, brother? Because that's just, you know, because of Hulk Hogan, everybody talks, it says brother. But we could actually do that in two ways because we're both in the same fraternity. So you're also a Delta Sigma Phi fraternity man. So I guess let's do a roll call of your class and when you start and all that fun stuff. We'll get that
Delta Psi chapter from 1994, Eastern Illinois University. What's the other thing you asked me?
Well, I just want to do the roll call here. I just figured that we talk about. It's very rare that we actually see, fellow fraternity guys here, because I only know of you and Romeo Valentino, who's over in Oshkosh, and that's it. That's only Delta Sig that I know in existence, but I figured might as well make that, clear the air about that we have that in common in addition to wrestling. But so DDS, where'd you come up with the name for DDS, essentially?
So actually, that name, because it stands for Delicious Danny Scott, that name actually was something I came up with in seventh grade. I had a role-playing game for wrestling where I played with dice and everything. It was a character I actually created way 25, 30 years ago? So when I got into wrestling, which was in 2000, I went to practice. Hold on, I got a notification. Let me turn these off. So choir, I got a notification, or I got a, I did practice for like a month of wrestling training, and I had my first match. They're like, you want to work a match next week? And I was like, okay. So, I keep fucking this up.
So Delicious Danny Scott, you came up that when you were a kid?
Yeah, I actually had the name forever ago. Yeah, it's been a... So I had it, I used it, like, it's always been my gimmick, as it's... It was originally like a Playboy type thing, you know, I had like red boa, I came out with a valet, and it's changed over the years. Like, it's, as my character evolved, like, people just started calling me DDS, and I was like, screw it, we'll just go with DDS, you know, it just... It went that way, and then I just kind of adopted the moniker, the greatest spectacle in pro wrestling, which I actually stole from IndyCar racing, Indy 500. So yeah, but yeah, it's been a... I started training in 2000 over at Pro Championship Wrestling, which was over in Melrose Park. I was there in my first match after a month, and after about a year, I left because back... So this is how long ago it was. When I wrestled, when I started, there was four companies in Chicago, and it was LWF, PCW, Windy City, and Midwestern Championship Wrestling, and you only worked for one company. You didn't work for the three. Like, it was like, that was it. You were a PCW guy. You worked once a month for PCW and nowhere else. So my partner at the time and I, we were like the first guys kind of to go back and forth to different promotions. I think Big Capri did it before us too, but when we did it, they didn't like it. So I had like a year of training, and then I was on the road like all the time. So
I know this that a lot of promotions way back when would do that. That, you know, like you said, if you were doing one place, that was it. You couldn't do the other three promotions in the area. And right. I know it's kind of a mixed bag because some people are, you know, see the benefit of, it's like, well, you know, you don't want to confuse the fans that are in that same area with you being, you know, a baby face in one promotion and a heel in the other one. It's like, well, hold on, what am I supposed to do for this guy? But at the other side, you see it as like, well, the dates aren't interfering. It's not like you're running this day, the next show in the area is running next week. So I guess what's your stance on that? Do you see the, you know, one and done, or are you kind of like, you know, get as much work as you possibly can?
No, certainly get as much work as you can. I mean, I, like with my promotion, I do run a different roster than anybody else in Chicago. A lot of the rosters in Chicago look exactly the same. It's the same guys working for every company. So there's not really any differentiation, you know, between the companies. So, and I would never tell my guys, you know, hey, you can't work anywhere else or anything like that. But it's the guys I've chosen, and I've chosen because they don't work, you know, all over the place. They're guys I trust. But yeah, mostly they're just working, you know, for me and then a couple other companies maybe. But yeah, I think guys should be able to work wherever they want to work. I think it's the promoter's job to differentiate things, to change it up, to not have everything look the same. You don't want to have like two companies with the exact same rosters. What's the point? Why would I go see product A over product B if both products are exactly the same?
Exactly, because then you can't really advocate, oh, we're shaking things up in pro wrestling. It's like, no, you're not. You're literally a carbon copy of this other place.
Which is exactly what's happened. Like, the company I was working for, Underground, basically tried to become, like, freelance wrestling. They used almost all the same guys, and it wasn't, you know, that's not what... In my view, that wasn't what that company was, and it's what they shouldn't have done. They shouldn't have tried to become, you know, a different company.
Right.
So I think everybody needs to have their own original thing. You know, be your own self, have your own themes, have your own, you know, your own type of product. You don't want to copy everybody else in the area. You want to be something new, which I feel like we've kind of offered to people.
Yeah, absolutely. And then speaking of something new, we have to go back for a second. You were talking that you got Delicious Danny Scott out of a wrestling role-playing game. So we gotta talk about that because I've never heard of this wrestling role-playing game. And so you gotta give an explanation or maybe a throwback to the people listening and being like, oh yeah, I know exactly what he's talking about.
Actually, nobody will know.
Nobody will know.
Because it's a game that I actually created when I was young. Like I mean, sixth, seventh grade, I created a game. You rolled like 2 6-sided dice, and you had to pitch your move, and you had to roll above a certain skill level in order to complete the move, or you would get a reversal. Like, I had a whole, like, gaming system down for it, which probably would have been great in, like, the 70s or 80s. I probably would have made a lot of money off it, but wrestling video games came around, and, you know, there was just no real market for it after that. But yeah, it's something I totally designed on my own and created. I think there's actually one company that still does wrestling paper and pencil games. Dale Senior Games, I think is the name of them. And they actually use some of the local promotions and indie promotions in their game. So it was, I guess, a very early version of kind of what that ended up being. But yeah, it was just, there was nobody else doing it. It was just, I did it and I played by myself.
What age were you when you came up with this wrestling role-playing game? Because it sounds like you put a lot of thought into it. So, you know, how old were you when you're like...
Sixth or seventh grade, so 12, 13. Yeah, like it was.
That's pretty creative for 12, 13. You know,
I didn't have much time, so I didn't have a lot of friends in school or anything like that. So for me, it was like kind of an outlet, and you know, I would play it. Like I would do like actual cards. I would have. I probably had like 120 different wrestlers that I either had created or like I just used. Like, you know, I'd take the Ultimate Warrior, make him into a character, and like, and I'd have all his stats, his weight, his strength, and all that stuff. And so it was. It was. I mean, I played it. God, I played it into college, and it was like the last time I played it was in college. I'm not sure whatever happened at all. It's in a box somewhere, I think. I have all the wrestlers and like some of the papers, like. Brown, because it's been so many years, but I played it for a long, long time.
Yeah, but I mean, if you honestly consider to try to market that, there's probably a market for it. I mean, you look at Dungeons and Dragons, which is kind of that, you know, that board turn-based role-playing, and you can say that, well, you know, they have video games with medieval stuff, and it's kind of the same deal. It's like, yeah, but both are still relatively popular, so, I mean, who knows? True. I mean, if you think about it, and if you have it available, there's got to be somebody that's like, oh, man, this would be perfect. You know, maybe the Dungeons and Dragons advocate that, you know, maybe wants to play Dungeons and Dragons, just not with Dungeons or Dragons, maybe with wrestlers and chair shots. Yeah. So.
And it's a good solo game, too. Like, I always played it. I mean, I played with a couple buddies every once in a while, but it's basically a game you designed to play by yourself and, you know, make your own cards and everything like that, so... Yeah, it's definitely, I'd love to figure out a way to do that, but I'd have to go find everything and sift through it and get it back together, but...
Who knows, maybe it's a future project, you know, down the road or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, who knows, but, so DDS, Delicious Danny Scott, the Playboy turned into the greatest spectacle of wrestling. Did you ever consider a dentist gimmick? Because I know, like, Isaac Yankum, DDS. No?
No. That was always the joke, you know, like, you know, when I would be in the ring, because I always had DDS on my tights, so, like, as a heel, you know, I got a bunch of dentist chants thrown at me and stuff like that, but no, I'm not a huge fan of the profession gimmick, so no, that never was a possibility.
Okay, well, I figured I had to at least ask, and obviously it's been something that's been brought up before, but either way.
Yeah,
Speaking of that, too, so I wanted to ask this as well, just because one of the shirts you have is you as a Lego, as a Lego person. So where did that come up from? Because you went from a Playboy gimmick to the greatest spectacle. So where did the Lego guy come in between that, I guess?
I saw a guy in California had himself designed as a Lego figure, and I was like, that'd be a great idea for a shirt. So I went and did it. I had a guy who's actually on my Facebook friends, Ryan Garza. He's a really talented t-shirt maker. He designed the entire thing for me, and it took us, you know, about a couple of weeks to perfect the design and everything. But he did a great job on it. It's actually one of my favorite. It's probably my favorite shirt, actually. And I sold a ton of them to kids and everything. Kids love them, even if I'm a bad guy. It's a cool-looking shirt, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's a Lego. I mean, what kid doesn't like Legos these days?
Correct. So, exactly, everybody.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely a unique shirt, especially for this area, because everybody wants, like, the skulls or, like, the tribal armband, you know, something. It's like, oh, it's cool and hip, and you're like, hey, here's a Lego shirt. And it's like, everybody like, sweet, I'll get that. That's definitely different.
Yeah.
So your guy, I noticed, is very clean-shaven. And are you going to have Ryan, you know, maybe do an updated one with, like, you know, because they have, like, the Lego beard attachments, like, for, like, the Dumbledore Lego. So have you considered getting him to update it?
Maybe down the road. Like, he does have a beard, I think. I think it's just really closely trimmed because that's what I had at the time. But this has come in over the last, like, 2 years since I had the shirt design. So
I mean, it's a magnificent beard for what it's worth.
I mean, it is. It is. I put a lot of time and effort into it. I put more effort into this than I ever did in my hair. Obviously, I have no hair anymore. But yeah, no, it would be kind of cool to update it a little bit if he decided to do that. But I got some new designs I'm working on based on the beard, actually, which I need to get those finished in the next month or so. But yeah, so that's probably kind of where I'm going. Like, it's an older shirt, and I can always order more copies of it or whatever. But yeah, I got some new things I need to roll out first.
Yeah, absolutely. So talked about DDS, and one of the things we want to make sure we cover today is the fact that you just started a new promotion, Kaiju Attack Wrestling. Yeah, again, you like you were saying, is that you want to be different from people in the area that are running the same the stomping ground, so to speak. So where did you come up with Kaiju Attack Wrestling? Because it's definitely a lot different than, like, Championship Wrestling Alliance or Extreme Wrestling Champ. I don't know. You get the point. There's a common theme when it comes to wrestling promotion names. So Kaiju was different.
Right. I didn't want to have championship was, like, one of the words that's in, like, everybody's promotion. I didn't want that. I did not want that at all. And I'm a huge, like, Kaiju fan. Like, I love Godzilla. I love Pacific Rim. I love all those movies. So I was just, you know, I was kind of tossing ideas around, and I was like, something with Kaiju would be cool. And then and I was like, I like having, like, kind of the Japanese underneath it, like Japanese kanji and everything like that. And it's written like a, like, almost like a monster movie title would be, with Kaiju Attack, you know, the exclamation mark, and then wrestling. So that's kind of, it's done a little bit differently. But yeah, I wanted something. I mean, and then of course people were like, oh, well, you know, there's a Kaiju Big Battle over in California. I think it's in California. And I'm like, well, we're not doing that. You know, we're not actually having guys in Kaiju suits or anything like that. I just wanted something very, very different, you know. So, and it is. It's different. There's nothing else really like it. So that was, it has a, and we have our own built-in mascot and the logo, which I don't think any other groups really have. I guess Freelance has a skull, which is cool. But yeah, so it's kind of a built-in mascot, which is nice.
Sure. So, I mean, with that, I mean, what's kind of the goal for Kaiju Attack Wrestling? I mean, like, you see that some promotions, they kind of have that, oh, we're very, you know, Lucha Libre themed, or we're very, you know, technical wrestling themed. So for you, yeah, you know, what's kind of the overall goal? Is, like, what are you looking for with Kaiju Attack to essentially translate to the fans when they come in? What should they expect from Kaiju Attack Wrestling that they wouldn't expect from, like, from another promotion, I guess?
I think, like, one of the things that definitely differentiates us is we're not looking for the smart mark. You know, like, I think a lot of groups fall into that trap. Like, oh, what's this guy on the internet going to say about us? You know, and who cares, honestly? The best crowds I've ever worked in front of were, like, I worked, the whole idea for the way we do our setup, it came from a couple different places. But the first place it came from was a show I did back in 2015 at a Taco Fest. And there was 3,000 people standing around the ring. No guardrails, nobody sitting. The energy was awesome. They weren't really wrestling fans. They were just people that were out drinking, having a good time, and watching a show. And I was like, oh, that was really cool. Like, it was really cool the way that was done. And then I did some research, and there's a group in California, and I've actually talked to a couple of the wrestlers, and they helped me, you know, kind of have ideas about what I wanted to do out here. But it's called Hood Slam. And they draw, like, 1,100 people a show. They have no guardrails. People on the mat, banging on the mat. You know, you've got to get out of the way if a guy jumps over the top rope, that sort of thing. But it's more of, like, they're not attracting, you know, smart wrestling fans. They're attracting fans. Just people come out to have a good time. It's more like, it's not you're going to a wrestling show. It's like you're going to have a good time, drink some beer, and, oh, hey, by the way, in the middle of the venue, there's a wrestling ring and there's some wrestling going on. And I feel like the way we set it up, you know, our first show we had to run against McGregor and Mayweather. We still drew 100 people, which isn't bad. You know, it's not my goal. I want the place filled, but it was a nice first show. The crowd was red hot. Like, and it was people having more fun at that show than I've seen in any other show since I've been back, which has been 3 years now. People way into it, you know, it's just different. It's a different environment when you have people standing up as opposed to sitting down in their chairs, you know, and they're not set in, like, a designated area. You can wander around, get a beer, you know, you don't have to just sit there. So there's a lot more energy involved, which is what I wanted. It's a lot more casual. It's not like, you know, I don't care. If guys want to write write-ups about our show and say, you know, this match sucked, I don't give a shit, honestly, because I don't care. That's not what we're looking for. We don't want a five-star review from some dude who lives with his mom in their basement. We want to put the show, enjoy themselves, get drunk, get high, and just laugh. And, you know, the other thing we do is we swear. You know, it's rated R. We do whatever we want to do. We talk about whatever we want to do. But yeah, it definitely resonates more with the people. They're way into it. It really came off the way I wanted it to. But yeah, it's just different. And I don't want to compete with any of the groups. I don't feel like we're competing with them because I'm not really looking to get their fans. I'm looking to get brand new people who come out just to have a good time. And like I said, there's wrestling in the venue. So
yeah, definitely. And I feel like a lot of people kind of use the, well, you were competing against McGregor and Mayweather, competing with that fight. You know, yeah, that was the reality. But at the same time, you know, your first show, you drew, what was it, half capacity for the venue. Obviously people enjoyed themselves and everything. So, I mean, excuse or not, I feel like you guys still did pretty well considering some people would say, oh, well, we only drew 20 today because of the fight or something like that. And I've actually seen plenty of shows, you know, pop out of the woodworks on Saturday that didn't have the greatest draw, and they were using that as the excuse. But you're seeing that as more as the, well, we were competing against them, but that's fine because we still did fine, and now we have a bar to essentially raise, essentially, for the next one. So.
Right, and when I found out the fight was going to be the same day, you know, I talked to some of the guys. I was like, I think we should just go for it. Like, I don't think we should try to change it. I think we should just go for it. I go, you know, that's not, you know, we're going to lose. I knew we'd lose people because of it, and we did. And we probably lost, you know, I think we probably would have sold out, honestly, because there was enough people that were going to go, didn't go because of the fight. Enough people that are just like, yeah, I might have been there, but this fight's happening. Which is fine. You know, we still drew a decent amount. Those people will be in there in the future. The people that were there this last show had a blast. And they're going to be back. So it's going to grow. And that's the key thing, is that I want the product to grow. And it's going to. And it's, you know, it's a small venue, and I want to sell it out. And I want it to be sold out every time. And then eventually, you know, down the road, hey, we move to a bigger venue maybe. But this is our home right now in this little music venue we have. And it's a great venue for wrestling. It's got a great sound. It has a great sound system already built into it. Like, you don't have to bring a DJ, and like, everything's built in. So it's a perfect venue for wrestling. It's loud. It's obnoxious. It's seedy, kind of seedy looking. I love it. It looks really gritty on film. So I'm super happy with what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I get to see a little bit of the videos of the, oh, if you missed the first show, you missed out, and a little bit of the highlight footage. You got to see the photos, and everything looked packed. And, I mean, like you told me earlier, it was you know, you had pretty impressive pre-sales for your first show and competing with Mayweather McGregor. So I'm excited to see what happens with the second show. So speaking of the second show, when is the second show?
Second show is October 14th. There's no fights. Nobody has any excuses. But yeah, it's October 14th. It's a Saturday. We're going to be running in December on a Thursday, actually. I'm just kind of easing into it. I don't want to run month after month right away. I'm just not, I don't have a full team or anything like that. I have me, myself, and I doing everything right now. So, it's, you know, I'm doing all the promotion. I'm doing all the running around, putting up flyers, putting up posters, all that stuff. So there's nobody else really doing it. And we're not doing it on a huge budget or anything like that either. So, so October 14th is going to be our next one. The name of the show is Not the Usual Suspects, which you can kind of guess what the poster is going to look like when that gets done. I have Christopher Huffman working on it with Spot Monkey Media. So those of you guys out there that are looking to do posters or graphics or anything for yourselves in wrestling, contact them because they are absolutely the best. And then I'll get those, you know, get that. That'll probably be up by the end of the week, I'm hoping. So,
fantastic. And how do people get a hold of DDS, and how do they get a hold of Kaiju Attack Wrestling so they can stay up to date on both you and your promotion?
You can reach us at facebook.com, Kaiju Attack Wrestling. You can get me. I think my Facebook is facebook.com, Vance Cooley. We're also on Instagram at Kaiju Attack Wrestling. Or is it Kaiju Wrestling? Twitter is at Kaiju Wrestling. Instagram is either at Kaiju Wrestling or at Kaiju Attack Wrestling. I can't remember if I had the full name in there or not. I think I do have the full name. It's at Kaiju Attack Wrestling. I think that's all our social media. I don't do Snapchat because I don't get it. So it doesn't make sense to me. So I'm not on that or anything like that.
All right. Well, I think that's really all I got for you this time. So, you know, thank you again for coming on, DDS, Vance, Yit Bros, I guess, is one of the things I hear a lot in the fraternity. So yeah, again, thank you very much, and best of luck with Kaiju Attack for the next show, and looking forward to see what happens out there in Illinois.
Thank you very much. Tickets are on sale. Buy them up. See you guys.
It's not about the shoes. It's about knowing where you're going. Not forgetting where you started. It's about having the courage to fail. Not breaking when you're broken. Taking everything you've been given and making something better. It's about work before glory. And what's inside of you is doing what they say you can't. It's not about the shoes. It's about what you do in them. It's about being who you were born to be.
What'd I tell you? Fantastic guys, that DDS, that promoter of Kaiju Attack Wrestling in Illinois. Really hope that everything goes well with that promotion. So many times you see the budding of a great promotion and it's just something falls apart. Sometimes it's the promoter, sometimes it's just the funds, sometimes it's the talent, but I think they got a great message. They got a great, you know, target audience. They have a great roster. I think if you missed out the show, and personally, I kind of wish I would have gone the extra couple hours myself to just go down to the show and watch it, considering that I wasn't getting any interviews anyway, so I might as well have gone and enjoy a fun show. But nonetheless, really hope the best for my Yit Bro, as the guys in Delta Sigma Phi here, my chapter, call it. But, you know, a fellow brother in the fraternity that's in the wrestling business, making a name for himself, you know, making a name for his promotion. There's no better cause to celebrate than that. But Kaiju Attack Wrestling, October 14th. Get your tickets now. They are available on the Facebook page, or you can at least get the information for the tickets on the Facebook page. Who knows? Maybe I'll try to make it out there because, you know, honestly, I was really excited for that, for when they plugged that first show, and, you know, I missed out. So hopefully I make up for that. But nonetheless, Kaiju Attack Wrestling, DDS, a good pair right there. So you check them out in the Illinois area and check them out wherever they're going. Maybe they'll come into your neck of the woods here sooner than later. But nonetheless, that's all we got for this show, guys. Thank you for letting me get that shit off my chest from last weekend. Thank you for listening to the interview with DDS, talking about his life in pro wrestling, his upcoming project with Kaiju Attack Wrestling. Just thank you for listening. I wouldn't do this if people weren't listening, and I appreciate that you guys take the time to listen to me ramble, and, you know, as I hate my voice every time I talk, but... talk about some upcoming shows here before we wrap things up here. September 1st, River City Championship Wrestling in La Crosse, Wisconsin, American Legion Post 52, featuring former NXT star Leva Bates. I'm so excited to meet Leva Bates. Honestly, everybody's got that one name that they say, you know, fuck, you know, the Mark comments and everything. You know, I'm getting a photo with it because this person is great. I am getting a photo with Leva Bates. Leva, if you're listening, we got to get a photo together. You're probably not listening, so that's A-okay. But, you know, I'm excited. You know, she's a class act. She's been a great person to talk to on the interwebs, and just really excited to meeting her in person. September 2nd, maybe going to Wisconsin Professional Wrestling, but we'll talk about them. Wisconsin Professional Wrestling, their Freedom Cup. It's a tournament event that was put on by the guy that's, you know, the founder of it, Ben McCoy. That'll be in Green Bay at the Watering Hole. Another show that's happening on September 2nd, Pro Wrestling Battleground. Maybe I'm going to Minnesota today. Who knows? But that's at the Wolubsky's Blue Saloon in St. Paul, Minnesota. So check out one or two of those. Go to both if you have the ability to go to both because, you know, technology is amazing. Next week, Mondo Lucha, September 8th. Really excited for that. That's a show that you just got to go as a fan no matter what. It's going to be a fantastic time at the Pabst Blue Turner Hall Ballroom. Really excited for that again. Jay from Mondo Lucha, he takes really good care of the Gravel Talk boys, and I really love sitting down and just picking his brain because it's such. Enough. I'm being too much of a fanboy. Moving on. September 9th. Don't know if I'm going to this officially, but we'll talk about it. It's Showtime Championship Wrestling over a little bit up north of Wisconsin, so check them up on their Facebook page. It looks like it's going to be a fantastic event, just like the first one was. So the second one, it should be very, very great. Last but not least, the double shot that I'm really excited for. The wedding of Roadhouse James Benson and Stacy Shadows. That's on September 16th. September 15th is BCW featuring the franchise Shane Douglas in West Allis, Wisconsin. I'm really excited for all the upcoming events that are going on. I'm very excited to do my thing in the wrestling ring or outside, whatever, because I'm a journeyman. I'm a wanderer. I'm a professional wrestler. I'm a podcaster. I'm all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of The Riley Factor. We'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.